Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Welcome to Northwood United Church. And a special welcome to you if this is your first time at Northwood, or if you're visiting from away, and you're kind of walking in on something, just in case you didn't know that. Sorry. Because this is my last Sunday among you as worship leader and congregational minister. So it's kind of poignant for me anyway, and probably for lots of us. So what better way to make our way through that than to sing our hearts out? That's my attitude anyway. So let's, but before we do that, just so you know, at the very end of this thing, there's coffee and tea and refreshments and stuff, and stick around for a time of visiting. But in the meantime, Yahweh be praised. We bring our praises to God. We open our hearts and our minds and our voices and our whole selves to this one who has made us and who has created this world and created a place for you in this world, a place for your soul to be at home in itself and in this world. And we celebrate that God who has made room for every one of us and for all of us in this incredible adventure of life. There is room for all.
Thank you.
There is room, space, time. There is an abundance in this life that makes room for you. That's what we celebrate when we come to this place and worship. Let's take a moment in quiet to just be aware of the space that we're in and the blessing of the opportunity we have to be together in this place. And then as the symbols of our faith are brought forward, I'd invite you to just join together and sing a welcome to one another, but sing a welcome to the Holy One into our midst. Long before the light was carved from the darkness, long before the Spirit breathed first into our lungs and into the lungs of our most ancient ancestor, long before the ones whose names we know, Abraham, Sarah, Moses, Miriam, first dedicated their life and their future to our God, there was a love at the heart of it all. Long before the miracle of life was cast and the conspiracy of spirit and biology came together to create you. Long before our grandparents in the faith had even conceived of a thing called Northwood United Church. Long before the word Christian had even been uttered, there was a love. An ancient love that drew people together into beloved community. This love flame, around which we gather. This watery blessing, spirit-filled in which we live. This wisdom under which we stand is old. And beautiful. And it calls us into community, calls us into life, calls us this day into worship. Please be seated. Calls us into prayer. And you have come with prayers on your hearts and in your minds. You have come with the world on your shoulders, with friends and family and colleagues in your hearts and minds. You've lit candles to signify that. Named names throughout the week. And I invite you now to gather in prayer as a praying community. O God of community, we thank you for your church. We thank you that in spite of our imperfections, we can still come together in prayer and praise. We are grateful for this place we call home, where we belong, showered in the baptismal blessing and welcomed at Christ's table. It is a sacred gift of your making, this community, and we know it, and we're grateful. Merciful God, just God, faithful God, God of blessing and God within our most difficult times, we gather together in you for a moment of quiet in our self-made busyness. We come to you for energy in our weariness. We come to you for challenge when we are willing to settle for our own small plans and dreams. We hear the teachings of Jesus, the call to love without condition, without exception, and we find ourselves challenged. We long for the peace of your presence, not only in our hearts and in our little circles. We long for it in our politics, in our relationships with our ancient ancestors of this land, with all peoples. Enter, Great Spirit, into each of our lives and enliven us. Enter, Great Spirit, into our community and make it possible for us to love and serve you with all that we are. Enter the lives of those we name in search of healing or peace, grace. For Linda on her path to healing. And Joan, who is waiting for open heart surgery. For Howard and Maud. For Josh and Elijah as they're learning how to deal with loss and change. For Melissa and Steve, mourning the death of their dad, Jim. For Sarah and Harold. And all others that we name in the quietness of our own hearts. Great Spirit, source of our life, be among us now with your wind and flame, with your stirring presence, that we might follow in the way of your lightning rod, Jesus our Christ, who taught us the prayer that we now sing together. Friends, One of the things we can be grateful for when we gather is that the Christian faith has never been a faith that required perfection. In fact, the gospel of Jesus proclaims that the gospel that Jesus proclaims speaks most eloquently to us in our imperfections. He offers healing to the broken, bread for the hungry, living water for thirsty souls. He offers a way of grace and forgiveness. You don't get that when you're perfect. He meets people not in their certainty, but in their doubt. Not in their strength, but in their weakness. And loves with a love that has the power to bring us back to life. This is the good news we proclaim. Thanks be to God. Now, I want to invite anybody that wants to come forward into a circle of friends to do that right there, right about now. How's that? Perfect. I've been cleaning out my office. Have you been around the corner and looked in my office? It's terrifying. No. That's an inside joke. Carrie always steals my pens. It's not true. She doesn't steal them. I lose them. So I've been going through my office. Yep. And I have a drawer, and I have a shelf, and I have other little places where I keep some precious little things, and I often share them with you. Yes, exactly. And I was going through them, and I was remembering all the times that we have gathered as a circle of friends over the last number of years. And so many things. I've probably forgotten way more of the things that we did together than I remember. It's true. Anybody remember going around and sticking stars all over the place in this place? We stuck them there and we stuck them there and we stuck them all over the place and they glow. Anybody remember this? Yeah, I know. See, I've forgotten a lot of stuff. You forgot. We stuck stars. Do you remember what the point of that was? Do you remember why we did that? You think you know? Well, just a second. But do you remember why we did the whole stars thing? Yeah, me neither. Oh, do you? Oh, do you remember why we did the stars thing? I can't remember. But there was a really important point about it. And it really was really important. I do remember showing you these. Do you remember this? These are worry people. Do you want to just hold one? They're worry people. They're teeny. You remember that? Yeah. You still have one? They're teeny, teeny, tiny people. Yeah. And I had a whole bunch of them, and I gave them out to everybody. And in a place I'm familiar with, Guatemala, they tell their children that if they have worries, to tell them to their little worry person and put their little worry person under their pillow and go to sleep. And their worry person take those worries away. I remember that.
Worry people are kind of like prayers that way, that we tell them to God, and God deals with them. Do you want to put that back in there? Thanks. I remember that one. That's one I remember. Do you remember this one? Remember this puzzle one? Remember we had all these pieces of puzzles? Do you remember? Anybody remember? Do you? You've got a good memory, Lucas. I have no idea what I was doing with this one. I had maybe, I don't know, there was a good point to it, but I can't remember what it was. But it's not, I mean, I'm doing okay. Oh, there's more worry people. Yes, I did. Oh, anybody remember this one? This is not a pen. This is what's called a plumb bob, and it was my grandfather's. And you know what this allows you to do? If you're standing up there and you want to know exactly what is exactly down below in precisely the right spot that's exactly down, just a second, Josh, or Elijah, you do this. And you bring it down, and you have it right on the spot up here, and it'll tell you exactly this, where, if you're the spot that's exactly above the spot on the ground. And it also means that this is exactly straight up and down. It allows you to build a house that is true, that is straight, that is square, that is true. Well, you put a spot on the ground, and then you match it up with a spot up on your building so that you know that you're exactly above that spot. It's heavy, isn't it, eh? Heavy. So what were you going to say, Elijah? It's like a skipping rope, yes, except it's pretty small. And there was one more that I found, and that was this one. Anybody remember this one? It's I'm not going to completely get it out because it's a bit of a magic trick. But on Easter time, I unfolded this, and we talked about Jesus going being placed in a tomb after everything was lost. But lo and behold, on Easter, was made whole again. And there was a magic trick in here that told us about that. Well, you sort of can, I think, maybe. Hang on a second, it's here somewhere. This, see, there's just inside, there's a paper inside of a paper inside of a paper. And when you get to the paper on the inside, it's whole, even though it just got ripped up a little while ago. It's whole again. Anybody remember me doing that? Anybody got a memory of this? Yeah, okay. Oh, I was thinking, you know, some of these things we remember, and some of them we don't. And that's probably true of you. I know it's true of me. Some of the lessons I have been taught when I was little, I've forgotten. And some of them I have remembered. And there's one, put them all back in here. There's one that isn't in a thing, it's in a song. And I want, because this one lesson, if there's ever any one thing that I walk around with in my life, that I'd like everybody to walk, every Christian to walk around with in their life, whether they remember the puzzle thing or forget the worry people or whatever, the one thing, it's expressed in a song called I Am a Child of God. And it goes, I am a child of God. Nothing can shake my confidence. That is, nothing can convince me that I'm not. I'm a child of God. No one can take my inheritance. No one can take that away from me because I'm a child of God. Never alone. I stand strengthened by God's own hand. Child of God. That, if you forget everything else, that's the one thing to hang on to. So let's sing it. And I don't have my guitar with me, so I'm going to need a note. That's several notes. Thank you. It goes, I am a child of God. Nothing can shake my confidence. I am a child of God. No one can take my inheritance. Never. That I would, I mean, if there's something that I want to pass on and say, just keep singing this, just keep singing this, it'll get inside of you and you'll know that it's true. That would be one to just keep singing and keep singing. I'm a child of God. Okay? We're going to do that. Let's sing it once more. And yes, as you head to Children's Church. Good plan. Thanks, Gary.
I am a child of God.
Today, just because I can,
I've chosen two of my top 10. And the first one, to nobody's surprise, is 1 Corinthians 13. The wedding scripture, right?
Right?
The scripture for lovely, beautiful times of sweetness and light, right? It's about love, and it's so romantic, right? Actually, I think that Paul penned 1 Corinthians 13 after the Corinthians had fried his final nerve and he was at his wit's end. I think that's what happened. It is the 13th chapter of his letter, fairly long letter, to the church in Corinth, and if you actually read it, you realize that he is trying desperately to hold a fractious, arguing, competitive, squabbling church from tearing itself apart over stupid stuff. Trying desperately to keep them from dissolving into petty disagreements, into power struggles. That's the context. Two things, more than anything else, divide them. Spiritual gifts. Some have the gift of speaking in tongues. And that's kind of hard to ignore if you don't. And those who do that feel like it's a really important part of their spiritual life. And those that don't, in their honest moments, well, wish it would stop. Others have the gift of prophecy, and by that I mean the ability to get to the spiritual heart of things. But in a competitive community, well, you think that's the heart? Well, I think that's the heart. And here we go. And others have the gift of knowledge, and we know how short a step it is from knowing lots to being perceived as a know-it-all. So, the things that start out as spiritual gifts fairly quickly become sources of disagreement and tension and disunity. And they're fighting. They're fighting with each other. Paul writes to them trying to address all of these things one at a time. And that's what, you know, you go through the first 12 chapters of this letter and it's that. Finally, we hear at the end of the 12th chapter, having talked about all of their differences and tried to iron them out, he goes, "But now, let me tell you about a still more excellent way to be in Christian community. Let me tell you what is at the heart of all things that you have turned into differences, that in this moment may be divided. Let me tell you, let me get to the source of what really makes Christian community work. Because if I speak with the tongues of mortals and of angels, but I have not love, I'm a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers, if I have all knowledge, and if I have faith so that I can move mountains, but I have not love, I'm nothing. If I give away all of my possessions and hand over my body so that I may boast, but I have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It
does not rejoice in wrongdoing, rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they'll come to an end. As for tongues, they'll cease. As for knowledge, it'll come to an end. But we know only in part. We prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became an adult, put an end to all of my childish ways. For now, you see dimly, as in a mirror. Then, we will see face to face. Now we know only in part. Then we will know completely, even as we have been completely known. So, faith, hope, love, abide. Three. Greatest of them is love. And 2,000 years later, it's still all that really matters. Still, ultimately, the only thing, the only measure. So in this life, we grab on to the hem of the God of love and see where it takes us. We let unconditional love shape us and mold us and revolutionize our life, and it will cost you everything you have, and it will give you everything you have. My love colors outside the lines. Let's see.
Yeah. gospel reading, we hear of Jesus turning water to wine at the wedding in Cana in Galilee. This is often called the first miracle, but John prefers to call it a sign, an indicator pointing to another reality. In John's gospel story, there is always metaphor at work. Things have double meanings. Physical things point to spiritual realities. What might running out of wine at a community celebration be a metaphor for? What might turning water into wine be a metaphor for? What spiritual reality do you think this story is pointing to? Reading from John chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have served the best till last." What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God.
I guess it's no big surprise to many of you who know me, who have known me for a little while, that I should choose the wine story as one of my top 10. Well, as many of you know, Trina and I are lovers of wine. Trina likes to say that she spoiled me for homemade wine. And I prefer to put it like this. She turned me into a wine snob. I don't think she'd disagree. But really, it's just that for us, we just appreciate quality and depth and a really good, well-made, well-tended wine. And it's not about quantity, it's about that depth dimension to a really good wine. Although at Cana, there was the quantity too. But experience has taught us that there is wine, and there is wine. There is life, and there is life. There's this great, I'm sure you've seen it, the great scene in The Fiddler on the Roof, that wonderful musical, where Tevye, the father of the main family of the story, has agreed that his daughter could marry Laserwolf, the local butcher. And they're in the drinking hole, toasting this, and in Fiddler, all kinds of agony and worry and heartache are swirling around every single character in the story. But in this moment, he has thrown caution to the wind and decided that life is too short to live it tentatively, fearfully, and he's taken a step. Life is too short. And they sing, to life, l'chaim. There it is. But not just living, not just putting one foot in front of the other, not just surviving, even in Anatevka, we have life. To life in Cana, where they came dangerously close to running out. Until the one who turns water into wine, who turns survival into celebration, comes along and leads them back to life. To life at Northwood, where we have over the years, you and I, amid struggles with roof, amid trying to engage our neighbors of many faiths, we've tried to create community that speaks both English and Japanese. We've tried to reach folks who have come to Canada from Korea. We are trying to bring a family from Syria. We've tried to create community that jumps the fences of convention. The reality is, in that mix of all the struggles and the joys, and we're not there yet and we're trying, that is life. Life is not something that you're going to finally get to or arrive at. Like the wedding you've been planning for your whole life and then they run out of wine. You know? No. As witnessed in Cana and at Northwood and in your family and in my family and in all manner of things, all manner of things can unfold and can unravel at an event you've been planning all your life. It can happen. No, life is lived in the midst of all of that unfolding and unraveling. That is life. Life is lived when things are overflowing and when they run out. Life is lived in moments of confidence and in moments of knee-shaking uncertainty. And the one we follow, who turns water into wine, takes any moment and makes it not just life, but life. There's a richness, a sweetness, a bitterness, an intensity, a blessedness that comes in this life that we have in Christ lived together in community. And I'm grateful for the moments when we have tasted it, when we have received the gift of wine, the wine of Cana, and known ourselves to be blessed by the one who so tenderly and so overflowingly gives us the gift of life. And you notice that in Cana, they said the best is yet to come. The good stuff is on the way. We who believe in this giver of life live life on the balls of our feet, on our tiptoes, because the future is of God's making. The God of life. Thanks be to God. Let's sing of love divine.
Oh.
Please be seated. Continue in our worship as we bring before God our offerings. And while that's happening, announcements, things that are going on in our life as a community of faith. Susan, do you want to dive right in?
Sure. Hi. So have you been enjoying the music? Yes. So I'm up here today to update you on the children's music program. And I didn't actually plan it with Will, but you'll see at the end how synchronized we really are. But first I wanted to introduce the committee, because I haven't spoken to that. Besides myself, there are Tammy Madigan and her children, Anna Kihara, Addie Aline, Paul Dayfoot, Joanne Ward, and Jennifer Conde. And they've been working really hard to get this project up and running, because we hope to start the launch in the fall. So we want to thank everyone who's contributed to the Wendy Talker Fund, because that is going to be crucial in the long-term funding. That's going to be our biggest challenge, is how to keep this project running over a number of years. The second thing we've done that's significant is we've met with Reverend Joan McMurtry about the grant, the provision grant, and that went very well. And one of the things she helped us with was the theology behind the project. And what's interesting is that what we're starting to come up with is that what we're going to do is offer music to the children in the community so that they can truly experience what it's like to be a child of God, which is interesting with today's lesson. So what it's like to be fully accepted, non-judgment, not judged, and to learn about compassion and connection to each other and to the world. So stay posted. As I said, we're hoping to launch for the fall. We'll keep updating you with what we're doing. Thanks.
There are some announcements printed in your bulletin. I would just leave those to you. There's an update around the refugee sponsorship process. Family story time is happening on Fridays at 9 o'clock. So if you know of kids that are young children and families that are looking for a story time, Friday, 9 o'clock. Summer coffee is happening on Wednesdays at 10 o'clock. All are welcome. Next Sunday will be the first Sunday with Scott Turnbrook, who is going to be our three-month supply minister doing worship and some pastoral care. So enjoy Scott. He will be here next Sunday. He'll be here sometime during the week and then here on Sunday. Carrie is off on some study leave and a little bit of holiday over the next couple of weeks. I also wanted to I'm not going to go into a pile of thank yous, but because Gina was away, we managed to pull together a special kind of music team for this Sunday, and I want to thank my brother Jim for coming to the piano. And Cheryl and Kathleen and Tabito. I mean, what a great team. Northwood is richly blessed with musical gifts. Let us bring before God our offerings. Gracious God, we thank you for the blessing of this life, the blessing of such rich gifts to experience in this life. Let what we give here flow through our hands, flow through our church, flow through our life, that it might become the kind of love that you dream it could be in this community and around the world. Through the grace of Christ. Amen. Our hymn.
hymn is Three Things I Promise.
Good morning. As you know, when a congregation calls a minister, we come together and we have a covenant that brings us together. And some of us will remember taking that covenant with Will when he came to us 7.5 years ago. Today, we have to do a covenant release, and that is taking us from a place where we've been together to enjoying what we had together and then moving on into the future. And letting Will know that he goes with our blessing. The Church of Christ is constantly changing. Our church is changing as well. Babies are born, children grow up, people commit themselves to one another. Loved ones and friends die. Newcomers join our community and our church. Others leave, moving on to new places and new opportunities. It is important that we recognize these times of change. Today we say farewell to one who is leaving our fellowship. As of January 2009, this congregation called Will Sparks to serve with us as pastor. Today, that call comes to an end. We have a congregational blessing. As people who live in covenant with God, we need to say this together. As people who live in covenant with God and with you, we give thanks for the time, gifts, spirit, and heart that you have offered in our midst. We have grown and deepened, and we thank God you were called to us. We recognize and honor your call to a new ministry. We release you from your ministry with us here, and we offer you our blessing in your new ministry.
As your minister who lives in covenant with God and with you, I too am thankful for the time that we have spent. for the grace and love that you have shown me, for the ways in which you have richly blessed me with your humanity. I have grown and I have deepened, and I thank God that I was called to ministry with you. I believe that now it is time for a new chapter in my life and in your life and your ministry. I release you from the covenant with me here and offer you my blessing for future life as the people of God in this place.
So I'm just going to grab a tissue box. Well, we have seen several changes through our time here. We have worked together for the last 7 years. This has been a time of celebration, challenge, change, and learning. We promise to communicate openly, to learn from, and to support one another. We promise to communicate openly, to learn from, and to support one another as we minister to
and with this congregation.
Well, as your partner in ministry, I now release you from this covenant. We have lived together and offered you my blessing in your new life and ministry. And one day I'll be able to say this without tears in my eyes. Yes.
Well, Harry, I get it. You have been a blessing to me in my life and in my ministry. I recognize and honor the times of celebration, change, challenge, and of learning. And as your partner in ministry, mm-hmm. I release you from the covenant that we have lived together and offer you my blessing as you move forward in your ministry.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I invite the following people. Please come forward to receive back from Will the symbols of his ministry among us: Kathleen Hardy, Diane Ono, and Marilyn Bargan.
Will, we ask you to be among us as one who offers your creativity and wisdom in worship, seeking justice together, and celebrating with us the presence and love of God through word and sacrament. We thank you for this ministry.
Will, we ask you to be among us as one who offers wisdom and knowledge in the ministry of teaching, guiding us as we grow in faith and relationship with God. We thank you for that ministry.
Will, we asked you to be among us as one who offers compassion, guidance, and hope in our ministry of pastoral care. We thank you for that ministry.
This is a phone list, by the way, so you know. And of course, prayer candle.
We'll ask Will to give the benediction, and then we are going to stand and sing our parting song, and I think it has real meaning for us today, till we gather again.
So here we go, folks. To love and to life. God has been at work among you since long before I was ever in the mix, and continues to be at work among you, and will be at work among you long after I become a fading memory in so many people's minds. Because life flows on in endless song, above all of what the world experiences. So friends, I've said it to you so many times. I just want to say it to you one more time. Count your blessings. Practice your faith. It takes practice. Never look down on the struggle for life. Because that's where God is doing some of God's finest work. And know that no matter wherever you go, the Spirit of God is already at work there. And may the peace of Christ attend us, love of God surround us, the Holy Spirit, now and always. Amen.